in the garden with a whole bunch of callers from all over the state of Arizona. We've got Florence, we've got Chandler, we've got Mason. We've got an open line for you. If you're listening, you call the toll-free number 1-888-767-4348. Whatever you're trying to tackle in and about your garden, lawn, trees, whatever it is, give us a ring. We've got John J. Harper here to help you out. Romy, who'd you like to take first? I think the young man in Chandler's been on hold the longest. Let's reach out to Blair.
And as we bring Blair in, one question I'm thinking in the back of my mind, it is citrus fertilizing holiday.
Yep, we're right there.
With all this moisture, I use granulars. Mm-hmm. You have to water your granulars in. Would I still need to water if I got home this afternoon and applied with all the moisture? Do you have to get it wet, or is it the ground that has to be wet?
Well, it would have to get washed into the ground. Now, the ground is wet enough, and the plants are well hydrated. You don't have to worry about the plant uptaking nutrients into a dry plant. So it just makes the watering in portion much easier and much less chance of burning, that sort of thing. So, yeah, because if you don't, it's just going to sit on the ground and slowly start dissolving. So go ahead and give it a good washing down into the wet soil, and that will probably take it the rest of the way.
All right. Thank you. Blair, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
My question is, I have two shemalash trees, and the foliage is so thick that the grass below the trees is dying. Is it too late to thin those out?
Yes, it is.
So I got to wait till the fall, right?
I would not trim a shamalash. It's a smooth bark tree. You will get sunburn on it. Sooty canker follows that, and then death follows that. So.
I was about to ask, what is sooty canker?
Man.
All you need to know is death follows.
It's just not a good no. Leave it alone.
Okay. Hey. It's a great weekend to leave it alone and just enjoy the weather and the outdoors,
well,
isn't it?
It's a great weekend to plant something. I mean, if you haven't switched to your summer flowers, or you can still do some of the, you know, like okra and eggplants and squash in the garden, and if you need to dig a hole to plant a tree, not only is the soil soft, it's also only 70 degrees, so good time to do that.
Let's bring Mike into the conversation from Florence. Welcome, sir.
Hi, I'm just in the process of purchasing a brand new build home, and we're getting ready to contact the landscaping company to come and pick our package and install everything in the front. I know most of it is desertscape, and that it's an extra cost to upgrade to grass in the front. So is it, as far as I mean, I like grass aesthetically, but as far as building up the value of the home as we're moving in, is that going to be a better option to upgrade to that, or just leave it as the desertscape?
And this is a HOA. Do you have regulations on what you can and can't plant?
It does have an HOA. I don't know all the exact regulations yet, so we're kind of just relying on what the landscapers are going to tell us is the available options and what parts we can actually upgrade to.
But your concern is property is resale value or curb appeal on grass versus desert. Is that not the real the question?
Yeah. Just eventually we will sell the house, and just not sure if that would be better.
Well, I don't
have that grass in there.
You know, I mean, good landscaping is good landscaping. It doesn't matter if it's grass or desert. Mm-hmm. So if you had a great landscaped, non-turf landscape, it would be just as valuable as one with grass. And then that all boils down to what the buyer's looking for anyway. So you're not going to guess right anyway. I don't want grass, or I do want grass. I mean, you could always put that in at the time of sale too, if you do it that way. But if it's well landscaped, it's well landscaped, turf or no turf. The decision about turf really ought to be a lifestyle decision. You know, if you've got little kids and you need them to have a place to play, and the front yard is the place you want them to do that, then some turf is a responsible decision. You know that. You know, if you don't, then I think just some grass in the backyard is probably acceptable as well.
Design's critical. Harvard Business actually did a survey that Belgard Pavers cites quite a bit, that a landscaped property done well can actually drive up the value of the home 15 to 20%.
The value, and it reduces the resale time significantly as well.
And done right, it's a low maintenance yard all at the same time.
Yeah, because if it's well planned, then you're not pruning as much because you got the right amount of plants, you got the right size plants in the right place. All of that goes hand in hand. So, yep.
We appreciate the call. Let's see. Larry in Glendale's next at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie for you. Larry, go ahead.
Yes, I was calling about my fruit trees. It's a grapefruit tree. It's probably 6 years old. And the bark is coming off one side of it. We painted it with that brown paint, but I don't know. The tree looks good. It just that some of the bark's coming off.
Well, if you got a little bark that's peeling off, I would go ahead and kind of gently peel what's loose and coming off, and then repaint with the Go Natural or the brown tree paint right over that again. You know, you probably had some sun damage on there before you painted, and you know, you painted over that, and you know, it's just continuing to come off. So take it off and repaint.
And on that paint, make sure you don't go to a paint store. Like Mr. Harper said, use the Go Natural. That's the product name. It will allow the tree to still breathe.
Right.
And it's not a suffocating. You don't use latex paint on that.
No, no.
Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly newsletter. It's filled with timely gardening and home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's rosieonthehouse.com.